is Robert Stark. I'm here with Thom Young. Thom, great having you back on the show.
Thanks you guys for having me back on. Appreciate it.
You were just featured in PBS News on their main website, and this was about your poems on Instagram. Tell me, how did this all get started? You've been putting out poems for a long time. I remember the last time we talked, you were putting out these kind of a certain type of poetry to bring in attention, that would bring your viewers to your more serious poems. And I guess, how did this all lead to the current article on PBS?
Yeah, like you mentioned, I had when I had got on Instagram, you know, I was posting like my real poetry, and you know, I was getting a pretty good response. I'd probably gotten up to about 9,000 followers just by doing that. But then, you know, when I started looking around, I saw a lot of the, I guess if you want to call them poets, on there were posting this kind of short, trite poetry, maybe kind of like she poetry. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just kind of do like an experiment and try to see, you know, if I can do that. And sure enough, like as soon as I started doing that, I started getting more and more, you know, followers and likes, and I kind of took on this persona of like kind of like a hipster, I guess. And then I started just getting more and more following, and it was kind of a satirical type thing, but you know, a few people knew about it, but a lot of the, I mean, people that just followed me, they didn't know. They actually thought it was like my real like poetry. But
you had fans based on satirical poems, but the fans who liked the satirical poems not knowing they were satire.
Yeah, exactly. The math is, you know, they didn't know this. I was actually being like, you know, using satire. And so I just started getting more and more followers by basically like mimicking and parodying these other big time, like popular pop poets or she poets or whatever.
So the one that got attention was very, very short. It just says, "Love made her wild." And it has your initials on it, and it's like a blank gray image. And this was the one that got posted on PBS. How did that one go viral on Instagram, and how did it eventually get the attention of PBS News?
Well, yeah, I mean, basically anything like you put that's short and trite like that, you're going to get more likes and more responses. And that's just kind of how it works on Instagram, as far as, you know, people getting popular there. Now, as far as with PBS, I actually talked to the editor, and I had to like actually pitch the story to them. And her name is Elizabeth Flock. She's also a like best-selling author and a journalist, obviously. And she emailed me and said that she had been wanting to do a story about, you know, this pop poetry on social media, but she was kind of afraid that she would offend, you know, some people. In her opinion, she didn't really believe it was like real poetry. She agreed kind of with me, although, you know, she didn't mention that in the article. But I pitched the idea, and like, sure enough, like she said, yeah, this is like a great idea. Let's, you know, she called and interviewed me, and then she ended up doing that article, you know, although they edited it quite a bit, but that was fine. It was a pretty cool, great opportunity for me, at least to get in the national media with that. So
the article talks about your alter ego. So the alter ego you created is this hipster poet called Tyler, and you were using a stock photo image of a man in a beard.
Yeah, I like to do characters a lot because I do like humor and satire. Tyler was kind of like my like hipster like brother who wrote like this kind of trite she poetry that was so popular, and it was just kind of a, like a gag, you know, like something funny. But it actually like pissed off like a lot of people that liked my real poetry. But it also drew in like the mass followers because people actually thought it was like real. So I just kind of had like fun with it, you know. And then so I would do bits on him, and then I'd go back to my real poetry and just kind of have keep it fun, and you know, kind of a experiment on, you know, the masses, I guess.
Because the article quotes you as saying, and they also mentioned, I mean, you're a high school English teacher as well, that your point was that libraries are empty and people don't read that much today, and people have much shorter attention spans. And so you're pretty much, it's basically like a commentary on how the attention spans have gotten so short that people won't even sit down to read an article or a read-along poem. They'll just like these, like read these like short blurbs online. And you put your very short statement is kind of, it's a social commentary on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the way it is, at least with social media, like pop poetry. You know, people aren't going to be interested in reading something that they're scrolling on their smartphone. I mean, they want to read something they can see and then double tap and then keep scrolling on. And that's what I kind of, you know, was trying to show, is that that's kind of just how our society maybe is today with the younger generations. And, you know, people actually, you know, they have a good response to those type of short, you know, maybe type poems, I guess. And there's kind of like a subculture maybe of these type of pop poets who have become, like, you know, basically, I guess, insta-famous overnight because, you know, they got a Kardashian to like repost them or something. And now they're like big time, or, you know, in their mind, they think like they're a real like writer or something. So
that would be funny if you got a celebrity to repost one of your fake poems. But now that you're sort of been, I mean, it still could happen, but now you've been sort of publicly put out there that you're doing this. Before it's more secretive.
Yeah, I think that has actually happened to several of the bigger, like, pop poets on there. Yeah, I think even though I've had quite a bit of exposure, you know, primarily with this PBS thing, people still don't really know. I mean, you can still post something and act like it's your real poem, and people are going to respond to it. So, yeah, I mean, I've actually got, like, a lot of flack for doing that, primarily on social media, Facebook. On the PBS Facebook, there was a lot of comments that were pretty funny, and a lot of people were pretty hateful. It was kind of funny to see, like, how that reaction was, you know, just because people were getting so irate about it and, you know, saying that I shouldn't define what poetry is or art. And, you know, I just kind of thought it was funny. So I'm not sure what that says about the experiment. Maybe that just people either didn't get it, or when they found out about it, they were more upset from that aspect, I guess.
And the article does mention that you use these short poems to bring people to more serious work. And the article from PBS does mention your poems and your books.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I did it. I mean, it's actually helped expose people to my real poetry. And, you know, I've actually sold more books, you know, after the article. And that's what I was trying to do, use that to get people to read my real poetry. And I'm not claiming I'm a best, like, I sell a huge amount of books, but I do pretty good for just on my own. And that's, you know, that's kind of the reason I did it, to get expose people more to my work, to what I would think is more of a critically true craft writing type of poetry, as compared to the short, like, pop type poetry maybe you would see on Instagram.
How are you able to build up your Instagram following from basically in a relatively short period of time?
Just by posting that short poetry. What I did was I kind of looked around and I saw what some of the other like pop poets or whatever were doing. And a lot of them utilize like a typewriter, or they use a typewriter app. So I learned right away that in order to get the most like likes, you need to have like basically the same background every time. And, you know, I use like a typewriter app, and I use the same filter every time as well. So that's one thing I recognized. So I started doing that. And then another thing you can do is use like the top poetry hashtags. And then that's just, you know, that's one thing I started out doing. I mean, right away, it wasn't like, you know, overnight, but I definitely started getting more likes and more followers. And then it just kind of built from there. And it really started just probably about a year, you know, maybe less than a year. It's really just kind of taken off, I guess.
Did the PBS article play a role in getting you more attention for your and followers?
Oh, yeah. I was actually in Colorado up at our cabin, and we don't have like cell phone service up there, but we actually went back into the little town there, Creed. I got service, and I think I got probably like 2,000 followers after that article, maybe more than that. So,
since the last time we talked, do you have any new books out? Is this one, Coffee and Nightmares, that collection of poetry? When did that come? That came out this year.
Yeah, that's just kind of a chapbook style, and I did that maybe a month or so ago, and it's kind of similar to like the style of my book, A Little Black Dress Called Madness. It's got actually some really long narrative type poems in it. And then I have a new poetry book coming out as well. But I'm still working on that. And of course I'm still working on a novel, Insta Poet. So
what's the general theme of Coffee and Nightmares?
Probably like isolation, I guess, and also like kind of a nightmarish type feel. I have a poem, it's number 9, it's 4 pages long, which is basically just when I wrote it off the top of my head, and then after I wrote it, I looked at it, it kind of all, you know, goes together, which I thought was kind of interesting. But yeah, it's kind of a surreal type of feeling, maybe a lucid type feel when you read the poems, you know, similar to my style in general. So that's kind of probably, you know, like I think I mentioned before, like when I write my poetry, I just sit down and write it. You know, it's not like I have a specific theme in mind. It's just kind of whatever it comes to off the top of my head, I guess.
When I think about Coffee and Nightmares, I think about Agent Cooper sipping the coffee in the Black Lodge on Twin Peaks. Have you seen that show?
Yeah, actually, I watched the first 2 episodes of the new one. It's pretty awesome. I hope I can watch the rest of the series soon. So I'm a big David Lynch fan, so I was thrilled that I was going to come back on.
Okay, so if I give a big spoiler right now, is the ending of the final series is Agent Cooper loves coffee, so he ends up in the Black Lodge.
And yeah,
he has a coffee, but I don't know if you've seen that scene, but the coffee, he pours it away from him and it spills on the floor, but he pours it towards his mouth and it like freezes up and he can't have coffee. That's Coffee in the Black Lodge.
That sounds like something Lynch would do. So yeah, like I said, I watched the first 2 episodes and they were awesome. You know, I don't know if that's really going to, you know, I've watched, you know, the old series as well a little bit, and I don't know if this new one's going to turn off like people maybe that were more fans of that, because I think Lynch kind of got even more like bizarre and surreal.
Yeah, it's very,
on this one. So
the new one is very different than the original. I mean, the original starts out kind of as a soap opera with a murder mystery, then becomes a dark comedy, then a surreal horror. But the new one is totally going off in the more kind of surreal horror sci-fi direction. But the latest episode, the whole scene is just like these long, kind of surreal, dreamlike sequences. But there's footage of this black and white footage of like some old town in New Mexico, and there's themes of like the nuclear test in New Mexico. Then they tie it in with the whole theme of the Black Lodge, but it's pretty trippy, the latest episode.
Yeah, I look forward to watching that. Actually, I don't know if it comes on Showtime, but I had that for a while, and then it got taken off, basically, because I'm just, like, real cheap. So I'll have to find at some point to watch the rest of the episodes, because, you know, Lynch is probably my favorite director, so I'll definitely be tuning in.
What are your favorite of his films? Would you say Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive? I mean,
yeah, those are probably my two favorite. Mulholland Drive, for sure, is probably my favorite movie by him. However, I like Dune as well, which is, I think we mentioned that last time, and
yeah.
I thought that was an interesting take on the novel, you know. So. But if I had to pick one, it probably would be Mulholland Drive for sure.
So I've seen Blue Velvet. I've seen Mulholland Drive with Dune. I'm watching it. I'm about a half an hour in. And
yeah.
It's because he's doing it based on a novel. The plot is it's different. It has to be more plot-driven. He can't go in his totally surreal direction. But you see his influence in Dune primarily with the aesthetics of it, I'd say. But with Mulholland Drive, definitely, that's the most surreal. Because Mulholland Drive feels more like it's like a dream or a drug trip, but the plot doesn't necessarily make sense. I mean, I think Mulholland Drive is a great film. My only critique of it is I think the ending was too abrupt. That's my only critique of the film.
Yeah, I think with that movie, I kind of see it as like a dream within a dream. And I've actually researched quite a bit about it because I watched it, you know, and then I watched it again, I watched it again. And you try to, you know, I think trying to figure it out will drive you crazy. But it's kind of interesting, just the things in there and how he makes you think about what he's doing. You know, like there's the linear style's not really there. You have a lot of things like, you know, out of order, and then you have things changing, and you know, like the waitress name changes, and there's, you know, two of those type girls, and then, you know, it's maybe a duality between the characters. Rita, I think, was the dark haired girl, and Betty was the blonde haired girl.
Rita was a fake name. I think it was like you don't know what to do with her, but her memory is erased. And there's different angles. But what I really like about Lynch is he challenges people to think about the films, like what is going on. Most films have this clear narrative, and they pretty much give away everything, and they don't challenge the audience to think about it.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's why he's such a great director, is that, you know, you have to pay attention to his movies because he's giving you the movie and he's saying, hey, here it is. You interpret it. You figure it out. You think. I think that's great. I do that a lot with my students as far as like open-ended questions and high-order thinking type things. You know, I always kind of stress that, you know, there's not always going to be an answer to things all the time, especially in life. You're going to encounter different type of situations. So, just getting them to think, and I think that's what Lynch does and why he's such a master at that type of style. You know, he really wants the audience to be a part of the movie and not just sitting there watching. So
we are at the end of the show. Before I wrap things up, do you want to plug your upcoming book?
Yeah, I'm working on a poetry book called She Fell in Love with Her Madness, which is actually just kind of my real poetry as well. From there, it's just a new collection. It's got like 100 new poems. And then I've been working on a novel, Insta Poet, for a while, and I'm still working with another writer on that. I'd say we're just maybe almost halfway there. So I think when we get done, it's kind of going to be a high comedy type of satire, which I think will be pretty interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
I would like to thank Thom Young for being on. It's been an excellent show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, and I appreciate talking to you again. And it's always good to talk about interesting things and poetry and movies and just basically get people to think a little bit.